shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh yes, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Welcome to the Sunday afternoon live broadcast of Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. Thank you, Brother Ron, for that number. Has he touched you? That is, have you had a touch by the Master, by the Savior, Jesus Christ? Do ask you to be in prayer once again for John Paul Losky. No further update, but just ask that you be continuing to pray for him. Just a couple years older than I am, 2 or 3 years older than I am, and but in critical condition after suffering a stroke in an Atlanta, Georgia area hospital. This afternoon, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4. We'll read verse 13 again this afternoon. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And of course, this is after what he said in regards to gifts given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Last week we had began to look at verse 13, and we dealt primarily with the phrase, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of course, that is the one faith spoken of in verse 5. It is the one faith that saves. And it's not many different faiths, it is the one faith that he was talking about, and that is salvation by grace. No works to it. Salvation by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. True faith, this one faith, is given to us by God. And every church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be being built up in this one faith. That is, they ought to all, well, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ does believe in the one faith. And they ought to be being built up in that one faith. But this faith that he's talking about here is a faith, we said last week, that we are to be obedient unto. We're to be obedient unto that faith. All of God's saved people are obedient unto that faith. Or they're not saved. They're in unbelief. They're in disobedience to the faith. But that faith which has saved us, we said, is a faith which works, which is a faith that is obedient to all the commands of Christ. Not just salvation by grace, not just unto salvation, but all the commands of God to do them. It is a faith which we are to continue in. There's to be a steadfastness in it. We continue in that faith, walking in that path, walking in that obedience to that faith. We said last week that this one faith is which churches are to be established in. Churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are established in this one faith, in this saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at scriptures last week that we saw that we are to stand in this one faith. And it goes to being steadfast in it. Stand in it. Continue to stand in it. Don't stand in it today on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day and then go out of it tomorrow because you're out in the world. No, we are to continue to stand in that faith. We also said this one faith is the one that we are to strive together in. Yes? All of us would admit, at times, it's not easy. So it's a striving, it's a laboring for to remain faithful, to remain obedient to the faith, to remain continue in it, to be steadfast in it, to establish churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in it. And last of all, we said last week that this one faith is the faith that many are departing from. Not that you can ever lose your salvation. If you've ever really truly had this one faith, you can't lose it. But you can stop being obedient to it. You can stop walking in its paths, the paths of righteousness and the paths of holiness. And of course, the Holy Spirit warned us of that in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 1, that in the latter days, some would depart from the faith. That is, depart from walking in the faith, manifesting that they are a child of God. And certainly, we made mention of the fact that we see that taking place in the very day and time in which we live. Many, many are departing from walking in this one faith, the faith which has saved us. This afternoon, we want to look at the phrase, the knowledge of the Son of God. It is till we all come not only in the one faith, but in the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, in a sense, this could be just another way of saying faith in Christ. Because faith is a spiritual knowledge of Christ. It is a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would say, indicating that it is spiritual. A spiritual knowledge. If you investigate that word know, is used to God knowing us, Christ knowing us, and we knowing God, we knowing Christ, it is an intimate relationship. It is as a husband and wife know each other intimately. And we are to know God in that way, intimately. We are to know Christ intimately. Do we have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? But since he is talking to saved persons in the body of Christ, this letter is written to the Ephesian church, and you can't be a member of the Lord's church without being saved, without having this one faith that we've talked about. And all persons in the body of Christ, he's writing this letter to, so it must mean something else besides just knowing him in a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he referring to then? Till we all come in the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, we know nothing yet as we ought to know. We know Jesus Christ. We have an intimate relationship with him. Therefore, we love coming to the house of God. Therefore, we love singing his praises. Therefore, we love the fellowship of the brethren. But we are to continue to grow in that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a saving knowledge of the Lord. That is the basics. That is the elementary. That's just the beginning of not knowing him. And we're to grow in that knowledge of him. So let's look at some scriptures concerning this that instruct us in knowing him. Turn with me to 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, and we know that the Son of God is come. Amen. We know that Jesus Christ has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. We say amen to that, right? We know him. We know that he has come. We know that we have that we've received that understanding that he has come. We've received that understanding that we know him that is true, that Jesus Christ is true, that he is truth. And that we're in him. And he in us. And we praise God for it. But listen. Yes, that's a knowledge. And you must have that knowledge of Jesus Christ. You must have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must understand all of that. But listen, what he lists here in these verses, in this verse is elementary. It's the basic principles of saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. And we have over here verse 2. getting down to the growing and a more complete understanding of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. 7 verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, this is the context, concerning the things offered unto idols, that would be idolatry. We know that we all have knowledge. We all know that we are not to be practicing in idolatry. The things of the world, they're to be taboo to us. The things that I desire in the flesh, they're to be taboo to us. We know that. Look what he says now. Knowledge puffeth up. Oh, look, brother, I don't do this and I don't do that. How come you do this and how come you do that? Knowledge puffeth up. That's one who's puffed up with the knowledge and the understanding that he has of God's word, of things right and things wrong. But charity edifieth. Love, godly love, divine love, it edifies, it builds up. So yes, you might have a knowledge of some things. You might have a knowledge of some things concerning Jesus Christ. You might have a knowledge of some things concerning a godly walk with Christ Jesus. But are you puffed up? Or do you have that knowledge in love? Now, if you're puffed up to burst your bubble, he says this, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. All that we know of Jesus Christ and the things of his doctrine and the things of a godly walk and a holy walk with him, we don't know anything yet as we ought to know it. So, why are we puffed up? We ought to be filled with humility and love. Yes, and concerned about just continuing to build one another up in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Turn with me again to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Here we read, and hereby we do know that we know him. We know it. We know that we know him. We know him that we know that we know him intimately. We have a relationship with him. My heart is toward him. Not as it ought to be. Perfectly. But we know that. If we keep his commandments, if we obey his commandments, what's that mean? What are his commandments? Well, to sum it up as he did, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. What one of us has love towards God as we ought to have? What one of us has love towards our fellow man, our neighbor, as we ought to have? Not a one of us. Not a one of us. So we have room for growth. Right? We have room for growth. On that note, turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, in chapter 3. And look what the Holy Spirit instructs through the pen of the Apostle Paul. And I might add to it that it's the same writer that the Holy Spirit uses to write this epistle to the Ephesians that said in verse 13, till we all come in the knowledge of the Son of God. But look at this. Look with me beginning at verse 7. He said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things which, and he gives his pedigree. He gives his birth and his upbringing, his education in Judaism. Even to the point that he was a Pharisee concerning the law. And he said, now he says, I count those things loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Since saving knowledge of Christ came to me, I count all those things loss. Forget about the fact that I was circumcised the eighth day, a stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he wasn't just a Hebrew, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. Forget about all that. Those things are nothing to me. Since Christ came into my heart, since I have a saving knowledge, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, waste, refuse, that I may win Christ, that I might gain Christ, is what he says here. I mean, he was all about more of Christ, less of me, less of the things of Judaism. Those things are waste, they're refuse, they're of no good, they're of no value. It's what I have in Christ that's of value. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, he's talking about, he desires to increase in the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ through faith, by faith. Our faith is to be working. Our faith is to be growing. And it is to be growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the example of righteousness of God to us. You see. Look what he says in verse 10. Oh, what a profound thing he says here in verse 10. He says, that I may know him. What? That I may know him. Paul, you already profess to be saved. You already profess to have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so he must be talking about something else. He must be talking about going on in that knowledge, growing in that knowledge of him. He did know Christ. But though it was very great, it was imperfect, and he knew in part, and therefore he desired to know more of Christ. Well, let's read what he says about this knowing of Christ and the power of his resurrection. Well, what about that power of his resurrection? Listen, if you know your Bible at all, and you should, you automatically, and especially those of you that have been with us through these studies in the book of Ephesians, it should prick your mind and say, that passage of Scripture. And here to the letter to the Philippians, he's making reference of what he said to the Ephesians. Look at chapter 1. Keep your finger there in Philippians 3. Because we're not done there. Ephesians chapter 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of, in verse 19, excuse me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Notice this almighty power that he's talking about here. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place. And this same power that he's talking about here, he goes on to tell us in Ephesians, is the same power that has quickened us, made us alive unto God, we who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so Paul says over here in to the Philippians, he says the power of his resurrection. What did he have reference to? That same power that had resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ, that had given him life from being dead in trespasses and sins. It is the power that he was looking forward to, that when they lay this dead body in the grave, it is going to come forth a new body, resurrected unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was looking forward to that. He was expecting that. So death had no fear, had no hold on the Apostle Paul. The fear of death had no hold on him. Let's go on. Not only that, and the fellowship of his sufferings, that is simply a partnership of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. He wanted to know more of the power of his resurrection and of the partnership of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Being made conformable unto his death, the likeness of his death. Just like as Jesus Christ suffered and died, the Apostle Paul was looking forward to suffering and dying for the things of Christ, for the cause of Christ, because he had an intimate relationship with him. And he said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I suffer these things because I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded. Amen. That he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Boy, he had an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, he knew him, but he was looking forward to growing in that knowledge of the Son of God. You see. So, another apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ said to us in the book of 2 Peter in chapter 3 in verse 18. Let's read verse 17 also. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, that God is, what things is he talking about? Seeing you know these things, that you know that God is long-suffering, and he was long-suffering to save us. Long-suffering to bring us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all that we know. We know that one day, these heavens and these earth are going to be destroyed by fire, purged with fire, and sin is going to be gone. We know those things. Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That steadfastness wherein you've believed. Wherein you were saved and received the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you understand that these heavens and these earth are going to pass away, and sin is going to pass away. It's going to be no longer. But what he's afraid of is what he has warned them of before in this chapter, and in, even in the second chapter. There are some that because the Lord is long-suffering and not slack concerning his promise, but because he hasn't come like he said he was going to, they've become scoffers and mockers. And they mock the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, beware, lest ye being led away for their wickedness. Verse 18. But to remain steadfast, but grow in grace and of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You see, what the Apostle Paul is instructing us by the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 is to be growing in the knowledge of the Son of God. Every church member of the body of Christ, every member of the body of Christ is to be growing in that knowledge. Another passage in the book in the Old Testament. Oh, you didn't think the Old Testament had anything to say about growing, did you? Well, turn with me to the book of Job. Man, I lost my verse, my reference. What was... It's the book of Job. I forget the chapter first. Let me find it here. Job chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 9. He said, the righteous also shall hold on his way, shall be steadfast. Mm-hmm. On his way. What way? The way of righteousness. And he that hath clean hands, that is the righteous, shall be stronger and stronger. You see, they shall grow, and they shall grow, and they shall grow. A growing in the grace and knowledge of the Son of God. So that the psalmist David was looking forward to that growth to the point of seeing him face to face. He said in Psalms chapter 17 and verse 15, he said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. Oh, there's the completed knowledge, full knowledge of the Son of God. Yes, certainly we know him. But we're being told to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. We must come to a perfect knowledge of him. I want that.
Amen.
We're to have a perfect knowledge of him. And we being built up by one another will aid in this endeavor. And yes, I know it's made more difficult by our social distancing and our not being able to assemble together. But we can still seek for ways to do it, to encourage, to poke and prod one another unto love and to good works. This is his purpose in giving gifts to each member of his body, the body of Christ. Each local assembly
of the Lord Jesus Christ is that body of Christ in that locality.
And they are endued with gifts for that body, to build up that body. The members of the Grace Baptist Church have been endued with gifts. Pastor, as well as each member, to build up the body of Christ till He brings us to perfection in heaven. Just as the psalmist David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. When I shall see thy face and awake with thy likeness. Turn with me one other passage of Scripture before we close. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You probably know it well. For now, right now, we see through a glass darkly. We're veiled with this flesh. And this flesh clouds the knowledge and the glory that we can see and experience as a child of God. Not that we can't experience it, we can, but not like as we ought to. 1 Corinthians 8:2. We see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, now, right now, I know in part. But then, when we stand in His presence, I shall know, even as also I am known. I'll have perfect knowledge of the Son of God. There'll be nothing to hamper it. There'll be nothing to cloud it. And oh, I'll be able to learn and to learn and to learn of my blessed Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for this glorious truth, that we are to grow here in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here, right now, we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But oh, we're to long for, we're to look for, expecting the day when we shall see Him face to face. And then we'll know, as we are known, as He knows us, we will know Him. Wow. Thank You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.